This morning, I want to talk to us about discovering greatness. Discovering greatness. And this is something we're going to talk about throughout this month. Discovering greatness. The Bible says in Psalm 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man that you choose and cause to approach to you. It says that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. The Lord has drawn us this morning, and I believe that his grace will enable our destinies to become great in Jesus' name. It is grace that makes a person great. It is grace that makes a destiny great. It is grace, the grace of God, that removes disgrace from your life. Our key scripture, like we normally want to remind us throughout this year, so that we do not forget it, is Genesis 12, and I'm going to take it from verse 1 to 3 today. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The word of God carries a lot of implications. And I don't like skimming through scriptures. I like to stop, think, meditate on it. And this morning, I want to look at that word greatness and the word make. The Lord said, I will make you a great nation. I want to look at that word, great, and make. The world defines greatness as the quality of being great, eminent, illustrious, distinguished, of high repute, high standard. You find out all that in dictionary. But the truth is, when greatness manifests, that is how you are going to be seen. That is what people are going to perceive of you. They're going to see you as eminent, illustrious, distinguished. That's the end product of greatness. But there's a process to being, to becoming distinguished. There's a process that we need to go through to become of high repute, high standard. Greatness is not all about positioning, all about posturing. It's not about possessions. Greatness is not about power. It's not about, oh, somebody lording it over somebody else. It's not about making people bow down to you, making people prostrate to you. It's not about anybody walking over somebody else. It's not about harassing people, maybe because you have more money than them, or you are in a higher position in the office than them. Those are not the things that makes you great. Hallelujah. There are so many things I could say today, but within the frame of time that I have, just listen to this word carefully. God promised to make Abraham a great nation. But what does it mean to make something? What does it mean to make someone? Making is a process before the product. Making is a process before the product. You can think about any product. The end product, there's always a process before that product comes out. Paper, bread, tires, cars, there's always a process. The process of making anything worthwhile is very painstaking. The process of making anything worthwhile is very, very painstaking. What do I mean? It takes time. It takes resources. It takes energy. It demands creativity, substance, many more things. To make a person become something, to make a person become great, which is where we're going, but that's not our bus stop. The end product of greatness is becoming a blessing. It takes a lifetime of development. No matter how developed you are, no matter how blessed you feel right now, it's not the best you can be. There is much more in store for you. God still wants to stretch you, wants to stretch me, wants to make us better, wants to make us more significant. God gave Abraham the end product as a promise if he will obey him. He says, leave your father's house. Leave your family. Now, God is not asking me to tell you to leave your family, but want to look at family in a different way. Want to look at family as familiar. The zone you are familiar with in life. The characteristics you are familiar with. The kind of friends you are familiar with. Some of us don't know that our friends may be holding us back. The people we are used to may not be allowing us to achieve our potential. Abraham's obedience was what will shape him or make him for God to bring out the greatness that was already in him. Why do I say greatness already in him? Because God created every human being great. The DNA of greatness is within each and every one of us. Why? We are made in the image of God. Every human being, whether Christian or non-Christian. But the question is, other people find ways to becoming great. But the question for us as children of God is, as soon as we accept Jesus into our hearts, into our lives genuinely as Lord and Savior, then we begin to trigger that DNA of greatness that is within us. God did not create you to be behind. He created you and I to be in front at the top. He created us to become the newsmakers, the trailblazers. He created us to begin to take new territories. God put us on this earth with an intention in his mind. He wants to showcase his glory through you. God wants to be known through you. God wants the world to see his magnificence through you. But then, when we become familiarized with our new environment, as soon as we are born, we cry, and then somebody sticks something in our mouth, we suck and eat, and then from there, we start getting used to this new environment on earth. Then our lives begin to be shaped like where we are. Our environment begins to shape us, whereas God wants you to stand out. God does not want you to blend. God is not asking us to blend. Unity is not uniformity. God is not asking for blending. He's asking us to bring all our differences together to form a great tapestry of greatness, to form a mosaic of greatness. Unlike what our president is saying in the last few days, calling some countries negative words as if they are useless. The many things that America needs today are taken out of Africa. They are brought here. God created every human being. You may be in one location or the other. The earth has become a global village. We need to form a united front together to move. Even companies are merging together. America cannot be alone and survive. That's the end of every kingdom. That's why God needs you and I on this earth. Praise the Lord. So we become familiarized, and then guess what? After a while, we begin to struggle to step out. Everyone struggles to step out of the familiar. You know why? Because we are always comfortable in the familiar. You want to be amongst the people of same country, of same culture, because you are comfortable there. And your full potential might not show up there. It's good to start there, but it's not okay to remain like that. Praise the Lord. Some people are comfortable being late. They are always late in life. You know why? Because we are not willing to make sacrifices. And life is all about sacrifices. God is asking Abraham to make a sacrifice. An unheard of sacrifice. Did he not say, I call Abraham alone? It was a sacrifice on the part of Abraham. Everyone sacrifices to go to work if you are working. Or you go to school, you sacrifice to go to school. We've had stories of people who struggled, who sacrificed to make it to school. We see young boys who become inventive, creative, to be able to pay their school fees. A sacrifice because they see a bigger picture of their future. It's important that the picture we see is not the picture of the past. It's not the picture of our experience. It's the picture of what we want to achieve. And what is it going to take me to get there? God needed to use Abraham to achieve something. And God was ready to prepare him as long as Abraham was willing to follow him. Hallelujah. We must be willing to make sacrifices. If we are saying, oh, 2018 is my year of this, 2018 is my year of that, it's not going to jump on you. Whatever your expectations may be for this year, it's not going to jump on you. You have to become intentional. You have to become deliberate. You have to become sensitive. You have to make the choices required to become that thing. Last year has gone. We can't live in it anymore. We want to create a future of significance, a future of greatness. Hallelujah. We need to understand that life is a continuous sacrifice. It's a daily grind with expectations. And that's why we sacrifice. We don't just sacrifice for nothing. My mother she sacrificed for me, for my sister, so that we can go to school and become better in life. I, in turn, as a parent now, I'm doing the same thing for my children. How much things do I need in my own life now? I've entered the second half of the century of my life a few years back now. Now it's all about my children to help them become all that God created them to be. So we're making sacrifices for certain expectations. And let me tell you, the only sure expectation in life is what God has promised you. Men promise they fail. Circumstances can make them fail. Circumstances don't make God fail. The snow can't make God fail. The rain can't make God fail. The sun can't make God fail. God is constant. God controls all these elements, and he can use them to do whatever he wants. Life can throw you and I a curveball, but life can't throw God a curveball. There's nothing that catches God unaware. Praise the Lord. Everything we need for greatness is already within us. It's within you. It's within that your baby. That your baby that may be crying right now. That greatness is within that child. But it's only being sensitive to God and following the leading of God that greatness within you become tangible. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to expatiate on that by God's grace. This is more or less my intro to it. Anytime you stop following God, you will find yourself going back to the familiar. As you struggle to come out of the familiar, following the leading of God, following the sure promises of God, the moment you step back, you find yourself going back to the familiar. And I want to use the story of Peter this morning. This morning is more or less like a story. Peter was familiar with fishing. Apostle Peter. He was very familiar with fishing. That was what he was used to. That was where Jesus called him from. Hallelujah. Fishing was his life. Fishing was his enterprise. One day, if you look in Luke chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11, time will fail me to start reading so many of these scriptures, so I'm going to just paraphrase. Jesus was at the lake of Gennesaret. When I was reading this all over again, I'm just like, oh, wow, Gennesaret, lake of Gennesaret. Sounds like a vacation spot. That's where I saw it in my mind. It sounded like a vacation spot, the lake of Gennesaret. But it wasn't a vacation spot at the time. It was Peter's headquarters. Hallelujah. A lot of people gathered around Jesus. They thronged him everywhere as usual. And Jesus began to teach. He began to teach them about the kingdom of God. He began to teach, and then he heals many just like he normally would do. Peter has just come back from a frustrating business trip. How many of us have been through that? Expectations are so high, but then we are not meeting targets. He was frustrated that day from that trip. The fish were not biting. They were not falling into the net trap. Jesus decided to loan his boat as a platform to minister to the people. After which, he decided to demonstrate to Peter that, hey, Peter, you can succeed by following my instructions. He said, did you catch anything? No, we have toiled all night. We caught nothing. And if you look, the discussion ensued from chapter 5, Luke, from verse 4 to 11. I will read that quickly. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. This is what we need to do this year. That, Lord, it may not look like it, but because you said it, because you spoke it through your servant, because I read it in the Bible, because I meditated on it, I heard it, I'm going to do what you say. That's what Peter said. But hey, I tried, it didn't work, but because you said so, I'm going to do it. And then, what happened? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. O Lord, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. They were astonished at the catch of the fish. But in their minds, they are like, oh, wow, this man must know something that we don't know. This man must have an insight that we don't have. And that's God for you. He has lived through this year. Your plan 10 years later, he has lived through it. He's the only one that can help us navigate it and make a success of it. Hallelujah. They were astonished at the catch of fish with their taking. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Simply, Jesus said, you just follow me. I'll make you great. And I'll make you significant in life. Following Jesus ends up with significance. Peter saw the result of following godly instructions, which is what we struggle with. Because it's at variance with our thought process. It's at variance with where we are, with the things that our naked eyes can see. Many of us, we are deceived by the things we see, the natural things. We can't see what God is saying. Habakkuk said, I will sit on my watch and wait to see what he will say. We need to begin to see what God says. What he says is infallible. He saw the godly instruction, the result of the godly instruction in his enterprise. But guess what? Jesus knew that Peter's greatness was not in the fishing business. So he called him out of the familiar. Just like he called Abraham. Just like he's talking to you this morning, tugging on the strings of your heart. I'm calling you out of the familiar. God said to Abraham, come out, follow me. Jesus said to Peter, follow me, and you will be significant. I will make you fishes of men. To Abraham, I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation, and you will be a blessing. So Peter, follow me. He said the same thing. We know the end of the story of Peter's life, but I'm going to go through a little bit of it today. From that time on, Peter began to follow Jesus. Gradually, his life and destiny began to be transformed from a fisherman to a disciple, then into a great leader. Jesus turned his name from Simon to Peter. Peter means stone, pietra. In Italian, it's pietra. Peter, stone, stable, stabilized, strong, solid. Which is how God wants us to be. He wants you to be solid. Hold fast and firm to his word, to his instructions. Hallelujah. Peter's life, like you, your life and my life, was like a graph. Consisted of ups and downs, ups and downs. There's nothing wrong with that. Because we are not perfect. But the grace of God is sufficient for us. One moment, Peter was zealous. The next moment, he was cowardly. One moment, he was like, oh, let's build a tabernacle here. He saw the transfiguration. He was mesmerized. I don't want to leave this place. Another moment, Jesus said, I'm going to go and die. Peter said, no way, you're not dying. And Jesus, get behind me. Another time, Jesus said, well, time is about. And Peter said, well, if you are going to die, I'm going to die with you. This man was ready to do anything, but when the opportunity shows up, he ran away. That day Jesus told him, before morning, you will deny me 3 times. And that happened. After Jesus died, crucified, and resurrected, what did Peter do? What did Peter do? Peter went back to the familiar. The familiar I was taken out of. The familiar I was called from. Even Elisha struggled with the familiar. He struggled with it when Elijah called him, come, follow me. Peter said, I am going to fish. I'm going back to fish. John chapter 21, verse 1 to 22. Peter said, I go fishing. And the people who saw him as a figurehead, as a leader, okay, we too, we are coming with you. Be careful how you lead the people who are around you. Your suggestions can lift them up. Your suggestions can bring them down. They followed in James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Okay, we too, we are going. The moment Peter said, I'm going back to the familiar. But everybody needs to make up their mind about Christ. You need to make up your mind about your destiny. You need to make up your mind about what God is calling you to do. Nobody should make up your mind for you. It's between you and God. And make sure you are doing that in the place of prayer. Then Jesus showed up. They were fishing and fishing. The same way Jesus met him was the same way Jesus met him again. They caught nothing. He went back to the familiar. He didn't pay him. When he was doing it, Now he went back to what was not paying him, and he still did not pay him. And Jesus was making fire at the seashore. He said, son, did you guys catch anything? And because it's mine. Time will fail me to read that scripture. But you can read it on your own. John 21, verse 1 to 22. Immediately they knew it was Jesus. But Peter was ashamed. Oh, they didn't catch anything. Then Jesus said, okay, cast your net on the right side. Again, on his instruction, they caught a lot of fish. And Jesus made food for them. They ate. And Jesus began to interrogate Peter. Do you really love me? Or you are in love with the familiar? Are you willing to step out for me? He said, yes, sure. He said, feed my lamb. Rest the people. Give them what I've given you. You've seen so much. I've invested so much in you. It's time for you to become relevant. It's time for you to become significant. Everything you need, I've put it in you. You just need a little push. You can't go back to this. You can't go back to the familiar. You want to discover greatness. You have to resist the familiar. In research, that's where breakthrough comes from. You don't stay just with what you know. Extend your frontiers. Push through. Try new things as you are led of the Holy Spirit. Do something new. Get into new areas. New areas of work. Read new books. Listen to people who can motivate you and challenge you. All the mundane things that don't add nothing to you, come on, put them aside. Ventilate your mind. Feed yourself. Meditate. The word, the Bible says, therein you will find good success. Meditate on the word of God. That day, the discussion ended like it was the first day. Jesus said, follow me. And as they were leaving, Peter was like, okay, what about this one? What about this one? Why are you mindful of that one? Jesus said, what is it to you? You just follow me. And that's the word for somebody this morning. It's enough. Us floating around with we are following the news, we are following worldly events. The other day, after my morning devotion, I just came back from a beautiful trip, a conference in Baltimore with our church, our papa family. You know, it's a reunion we have every year in January. And after my morning devotion, I'm just like, okay, let me see what's going on. Every page of the news I opened, there was nothing to encourage me. I'm like, if I go on like this, this thing is going to kill my spirit. This thing is going to kill my spirit. Then I began to resist it. You know, I'm saying, no. Let me get up, dress up, and go for the fellowship. Peter's significance was connected to following God's instructions. And it's not for Peter alone. It's for you. It's for me. If we are going to discover greatness, we must be willing to follow God's instruction. Our significance is equally tied to those same instructions. Follow me. This year, are you going to make up your mind from today? From today, if this year is going to become that year for you, from this very moment, are you going to make up your mind to follow him? It's calling. He has something great that he has put inside you. It's just by following him that will help you to unfold those things. He wants to trim us. He wants to equip us. I will turn you. I will equip you so that you can equip others. That's the bottom line. He told Peter eventually, feed my sheep. To Abraham he said, and you shall be a blessing. And you shall be a blessing. Feed my sheep and you shall be a blessing. He wants to equip us so that we too, we can start equipping others, building people's lives. God is a master builder who wants to use you and I as an instrument in his hands to build. Paul had the favor, but he went about it the wrong way until God caught up with him and gave him a new instruction, a new way. And the greatness of Paul showed up. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. The things you have been through, the things God will allow you to go through, the lessons you have learned is not just for you alone. You can't be a reservoir. You are a flowing river. God created us to flow, not to stagnate, but to flow so that we can flow into other people's lives positively. We can shine the light of the gospel in other people's lives, in our community, so that Jesus may be known through you and I. It's a deliberate act that we need to imbibe. There is no way we do God's bidding and God will not show up for you. And I can guarantee you, you won't need to pray over any enemy because God will take care of them. If your ways are pleasing to God, he says he will make your enemies to be at peace with you. We can't reverse it. We saw Peter's life. Peter's life became an impact. Greatness takes time. Greatness is a process. At a point, some people saw Peter. The same Peter who was lily-livered now stood boldly after being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he spoke. And thousands came into the kingdom. They saw Peter. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they didn't go to school, but that did not stop their greatness. School is good. School is okay. School is important. But it's not at all. There are many frustrated, educated people. They saw their boldness. They saw their utility. They are uneducated, untrained men. They marveled at their output. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. When will people know that you have been with Jesus? They won't know if you have not been with him. They won't know if you are not following him. Somebody said overnight success takes time. We see the success overnight, but the practice has been for long. We can ask David about that. It wasn't overnight. Oh, he killed Goliath. Hey, clap for David. No, he's been killing the lions. He's been killing the bears. He's been protecting the sheep. He's been following. He's been doing. Overnight success takes time. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes following of instructions. But we need to start now. We need to start now. We need to make up our minds to start now. God is pulling on the strings of your heart this morning. And I'm imploring you, don't resist him. Don't resist him. Make up your mind. There's enough grace available to help you. There's enough grace available to help all of us, everyone who is watching me right now, or who will watch this broadcast later. There's enough grace for you to help you make the choices that you need to make this moment. The choices you need to make, that you need to engrave it and say, this is the way for me. If you desire greatness, then you must be ready to follow. Follow Jesus. Follow his principles. Follow the word of God. Ask him to help you. Ask him to embrace you.